to the current, while we have the current situation at Eskom, we have, as you will be aware, had a number of significant delays in the Bolt program, Eskom as well as the Lephalale Bolt program, particularly Sealand, but delays that we've been experiencing with the Bolt program, also as staff and staff in shortfall in electricity supply. We also have an inadequate maintenance of power plants, not just power plants, also maintenance of plants as well as distribution network. And this is resulting in a deteriorating and unreliable performance, leading to higher maintenance costs. So these are some of the factors. Also, yes, the electricity demand, obviously, if we cut back on demand and tariffs increase, demand for electricity decreases. And as you demand less electricity, you buy less as utility, buying less electricity, that in itself results in lower revenues to Eskom. And so Eskom has also experienced lower revenues generation. These factors have resulted in the deterioration in the financial position and what has led to the package, support package that the minister launched in time of medium term budget and again in February. Now on the appropriation bill, again just to repeat what I said, in December 2014 cabinet approved the support package. The key interventions were those interventions that I have just made reference to. Those were the key interventions. And part of that was the commitment to allocate 23 billion of funding to Eskom and to convert some of the next loans, as was mentioned at the time of the medium-term budget and again in October, in February, to come to budget. The funds, as it was also mentioned, be paid over to Eskom in tranches, 10 billion in June 2015, which is the month that we are in, another 10 billion by December, not necessarily in December, but by December 2015, and then the remaining 3 billion in 2017. That's then added to the 23 billion allocation from government to Eskom. And an important condition for the response of the 3 billion is that this allocation would be funded for the sale of non-strategic government assets, and also the requirements being that it's from the sale of a non-strategic government asset, this would have no effect on the system. So it would be neutral on the fiscal framework, neutral on the budget, and therefore we don't see any impact on the budget. And today, well, we are in June and we are on track with meeting the deadline of the first 10 billion that will be transferred this month. On the special, further on the various bills, if you want to take us to some of the bills that relate to the Eskom operation.
Yeah. Yes, we can give you to the committee, to the third bill, the special evaluation bill. In clause one of the bill, makes it clear that the appropriation of the 23 billion is subject to the payment into revenue of assets, of revenue from the sale of assets, as Anthony mentioned. And then we, like all appropriations, flow through a particular department, so Eskom is responsible or falls under the Department of Public Enterprises, it falls in appropriation to the part of public enterprises. For the financial year of 2015-2016, and then strategic savings to enhance the generation capacity and security supply by Eskom. Then further in the bill is proposed that the Minister of Finance must, after consulting, after considering the cash requirements of Eskom that the Treasury must verify, decide on the actual amount and the date of transfers, although we already gave an indication of the amounts that we think of which were required at different points in time. The actual responsibility for transfer funds would be placed on the accounting officer of the Department of Public Enterprises. And obviously those, the money must be transferred in accordance with the requirements of the DFMA, and also on the actual amounts and dates determined by the Minister of Finance. Then, in addition to that, we also call to involve, similar to the annual probation, as a part of it, and also become one of the people before the NCOP. We propose to enable the Minister of Finance to impose conditions on any part of the Brazilian appropriation. And the aim of that is communicated there to ensure and to promote transparency and efficient management of revenue. And this is a requirement of the PFMA Section 1G. Then, in addition to that, we also propose to enable ministers to stop the use of any part of that appropriation until the condition is met. And this is also similar to what you would find in the current appropriation law. And then there's a requirement that if Treasury decides to stop funding for the reason any reason indicated, then they must report that to these committees, which is also a requirement in the current appropriation law. But the regional goal of the last clause is that it's short titles, and that is the special appropriation policy.
This will allow us an improvement in Eskom's debt to equity position. In terms of the stand of free funds from operations, this would result in an improvement. If you look at the free flow of funds available at Eskom, it will improve from 2015-16 from what it would be with the equity with the loan, and it would be 4.3% as a percent of debt. This is free funds from operations as a percent of total debt. It will improve from 4.3 to 4.6, so it's a 0.6% improvement in the free flow of funds available at Eskom resulting from the conversion of the loan to equity. That level would increase from 2015-16 to with the loan. In 2017-18, we're expecting the free flow of funds at Eskom to be projected to be about 13.4% as a percent of total debt, and with the conversion to equity is expected to improve to 40.2% as a percent of total debt in 2017-18. So it's not been an improvement, but not a significant improvement in the balance sheet position of Eskom. Also, the conversion from loan to equity at Eskom will have no direct cash flow impact because no money was flowing already. The money has flowed before the 60 billion in the previous years, 2008 to 2011 years. That's the money when transferred from government to Eskom in the form of a loan. And also, as I mentioned, they will have to date given the financial position of Eskom. Eskom is not going to be required to pay anything back in terms of servicing the loan or in terms of paying any guarantee fees. And so there will not be any cash implication of the conversion. The funds were already appropriated, as I said, and Eskom comes to pay interest for guarantee fees on the loan. The conversion benefits Eskom by demonstrating government's commitment to supporting the company. It is beneficial to Eskom in the sense that it slightly improves its balance sheet if you take both goals, instead of 23 billion, as well as conversion from a loan to equity, which does improve the financial position of Eskom, and as such, it makes it the implication of that is that Eskom should then be in a better position both to raise debt in the capital market, as well as to raise debt more cheaply than without the equity, as well as without the loan conversion. It does have an impact on the cost of raising debt, which Eskom is in the business of, in order to finance operations. As indicated, that the borrowing capacity for Eskom, we have the guarantee facility, currently it's about 200 billion. Are still available for Eskom to borrow again guarantees, because they have borrowed 150 billion from a facility of 350 billion, so there's 200 billion, and that facility provides Eskom as potential to go and raise debt, both in the domestic market, where it borrows from pension funds, in the domestic market, as well as in the international market, 200 billion potential for additional borrowing. And then the cost of servicing that debt should also improve as a result of these two measures. Have you want to talk about the clauses?
Briefly about the clauses, the amendment that's proposed is now to the Eskom Subordinated Loan Appropriation Act of 2008. This is proposed simply just to amend the name of Eskom in line with the mandate in terms of the new Company Act to reflect as it's SOC. And then the second part of dealing with the change that was indicated now is, for the current access appropriation of 16 billion is subject to a loan agreement. So we removed the provision dealing with the loan agreement and to replace it by a requirement on Eskom to issue ordinary shares to state for that equity. It's a formal shares to state the value of 16 billion. And then there's another part of the amendments contained in clause 1.1 is to remove references to the further regulation of the loan agreement. And then it further stipulates in clause 1 that the loan agreement that's currently in place will lapse at the time when Eskom issues the state with shares to the value of 60 billion. Then lastly, there is also a technical amendment because we have to amend the name of the Act of 2008 to move the terms of ordinary planning because it's no longer appropriation subject to this ordinary planning. And so those are the changes contained in the second poll and the whole committee.
I think that takes us to the end of the presentation. That one also says us in terms of the debt numbers, debt as a percent of the ratio of total earnings. We don't have the presentation, but to give you what implies the conversion from a loan to equity is that the total debt to earnings improves in 2016 from 14.2, which would be 14.2, which would be as a loan if for conversion to 13.3, where the loan is now being converted to equity, that's 2015-16, and then improves then in 2017-18 to what we are projecting debt to revenue to be 2017-18-6, that is debt to earnings. From 5.6 in relation to 5.6% in 2017-18. So that is what the implication financially, the implications of the conversion would be on the balance sheet of ESCOM over this period 2015-2017. I think that brings us to the end of this presentation. Thank you. Thanks, Jim.
Honorable members, that's the presentation. So we will engage with National Treasury.
Chairperson, thank you for this engagement as joint committee on this important matter. It's a short presentation with a huge effect on every South African. You know the history, the Minister of Finance mentioned this in the tabling of the national budget, also dealt with it in the budget review. And the decision we're going to take is going to affect the lives of people that suffer. Parliament is serious about this hope. We can't let ESCOM collapse. We can't do that. So, from my comment side, it's very continuous in the preparations. And from the organization I also represent in Parliament, I propose that we support this. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. You know, I am speaking from a highly advanced position, but I've got a private problem, and I have that people should send me on the actual protection in large families. And so I'm just talking from the list that I can remember from the presentation. I can't work on it. And I would like to go to the interview. I can't read those things. I can't read on the phone. I can only read on the iPad. So, but what I want to say is that I think we should support. We should support this this proposal because of the reasons that my colleague has given. We are a developmental state, and a developmental state always intervenes. We need state intervention in the situation of ESCOM. And as responsible parliamentarians, we cannot allow ESCOM to collapse. That is one. Two, from our side, as appropriation committee, we would like to see that that assistance to us ESCOM actually is followed by accountability. We are able to put our hands, our fingers on the movement of the land. We would like to know on an ongoing basis how the improvement of the balance sheet of ESCOM have actually been converted into better security. And we would, you know, when trade and industry came to the bench, they raised one very important reason in the government. The question of things that are not talking to each other, which actually impede the departments from actually overseeing their parameters. I hope we can come together with the with your other department and actually talk about having people who can actually reach the IDs of those institutions. Because really, it's a lot of money. You talked about that. I can't remember the figures, but I can't remember. But it's a substantial amount. We need to actually monitor at least quarter on what effect that money has done to save the universe. But that is what we're talking about.
Thank you. Thanks, Honorable.
Thank you for your question. I just have a few issues for clarification here in the presentation. And I'm going to just be quite precise. The first or second one rather is an error there. The second last bullet point says electricity demand has been lower. It should actually be electricity supply has been lower. Because I do not see that the demand has been lower, the demand has been high, but it just wasn't provided. So that's, I would like that correction to be made. The supply for the sale of assets. Now, I see in the next slide, which is slide number 3, it talks about the last point, significant progress has been made in making funds, let's say. Now, can I get some indication of the value of those assets available, total value? Because my understanding is that you need to get 23 billion rand worth of assets. So surely you need to have a stock of assets. Now those, is that stock of assets available in identifying what is actually total value? That's the question. The 23 billion rand, is that a loan? Or we don't know what's going to happen in the future, we can speculate. Is that a loan that can convert into equity at a later stage in order to improve Eskom's balance sheet again? That's the question. And then the third bullet point, just for clarification, you mentioned the second bullet in general that you said fine. Yeah, so okay, it's just it's not an issue. I mean it could be four, but I just noticed that you did say that it's interesting on slide number 6 and I'm agreeing with my colleague on the motion that one cannot see we need power. But at the end of the day, we need to make sure that the money that's been given is used for services and the people are not poor. So by don't get me wrong and saying that I'm not supporting. What I'm saying is that the money that is allocated must be used properly. I also noticed that the question, sorry, is this 23 billion, will it also cover maintenance costs, because that has been the reason for the costing at the moment, is your maintenance costs. So now, this 23 is a tax or has maintenance been incorporated into that amount? I also know later in the presentation it's indicated that an application is going to be made for an increase, and we're still waiting to see what that outcome is going to be. But what's interesting is on slide number 6 is this loan now. Seems that the loan that one might be given has not been to be repaid. So why don't we just call it whatever it is in the beginning, instead of calling it a loan now and converting it to equity, so that South Africans know that you are giving funds that are going to be the equity. And it's not a loan, because loans, in my view, once you give somebody a loan, you expect it to be repaid. And then so I was like, just let's call it what it is. Then the issue of the equity, and that is dealt with on slide number 7, Honourable Chairperson. Okay, now, you talk about equity, which is shares. How many shares have been issued? What is the cost per share? What percentage of equity is the government going to receive for this 60 billion that we're going to be now converting into from loan to equity? Is that, has that been determined? Are there going to be any dividends? Because normally when a loan you receive interest, with equity you receive dividends. Is there some sort of dividends that government can expect in return? Because if it's not, then I'm sorry, the equity will not be looked after. Because you know, Eskom will know in a couple of years' time, we can just ask for more loan and to be converted into interest anyway. So, you know, I'm just a little concerned about that. I'm supporting, we need Eskom, I believe, but we just want to make sure that it's used for the purposes. Then, slide, the last slide in the, this slide 8 here. It's linked to the equity, and the other question I would like to ask here is, okay, ask about how many shares are issued, how many shares are authorized, because sure, you can't just convert to equity and you just, okay, we're giving you so many shares. Normally, in an entity of business, there will be a number of authorized shares, so can I just take clarification on that issue? Okay, thanks, Honourable Chairperson.
Thank you, Honourable Chair. Thank you for the presentation. While I agree that we basically have no choice but to support this, it's with reluctance that I personally do so. Because I'm of the opinion that everything is the author of such misfortunes to this point in time, which we know we won't miss that right now. One of the reasons that makes me up here, my colleague, Dr. Fink, says that he thinks it's a mistake, saying the electricity demand has been lower than anticipated. I think this is the beginning of the whole problem at Eskom. How can you anticipate the demand which far costs the supply and then complain that that's the result of my lockdown to do my business? This is a huge management problem. I think that's the whole problem with Eskom, is they haven't any management capabilities. That's why they'll make a statement like this that says we couldn't supply enough as we thought we were going to, but we wouldn't have been able to do it anyway. And what kind of statement is that? It's just indicative to me. A bigger problem. I have a huge concern as well about this. We had the extra money in 2008, since 2008, 60 million rand. Now we're saying, all right, let's offer the loan to show us some shares. But we're giving the shares back to government. Eskom's already a state-owned enterprise. So now the government's going to have shares in its own enterprise. It already owns the whole thing in effect. Now we're giving the shares to wipe out the loan. Does it sound like a good idea? I don't think so. Why are these shares not being offered on the stock exchange, for example? Why can't members of the public buy and test it and get a decent reaction if they feel it's good having? The other thing that bothered me a little bit here was that we loan 60 billion. We say interest has accrued on this money since then, although no interest has been paid. Now we're going to write up the loan for shares with the 60 billion. What about interest on the 60 billion since it was loaned? Since that's just going to fall off the bus now. It's just vanished somewhere. It's continuing a really good deal that I wish I could get my hands on that interest. I'll retire tomorrow. Then we also speak about guarantees. Now, there's been made a note, what do they need a guarantee for? Because a guarantee would normally be what you use to go to a finance institution and say, here's the guarantee that backs up the loan, I want it from you. But we're giving them the money and then so we're going to charge them guarantee costs. But I presume the guarantee relates to some other money. Perhaps there's other facility you mentioned. Is that the case? And if there is a case, what's going to happen to those guarantee fees? Which I see, it says here, I think it has not been required to make payments of interest or guarantee fees. Now, none of the guarantee fees have actually been incurred up to now. They haven't been paid, they haven't been invoiced for, they haven't been asked for. But if they have been incurred, what would they incur it for? If they in fact have the money rather than a guarantee for the money that they're going to source from somewhere else. And it's a question that's drawn in my mind as a problem management point of view again, is if we have to lend the Eskom now further to 23 million, I would ask the question, what's Eskom's current turnover? What's their state of business like at the moment? What's their estimated turnover going to be once they've finished
afford this loan.
As my colleague says, it doesn't help with lending them money now and then in 3 years I would just say, oh, this is based on the share price. Because then we're not loaning anything, we're just giving it to them. And if that's the case, then my colleague says, well, let's just say so, perhaps not fully required, with all the semantics and everything else, let's call the spade a spade and be honest. I was also interested to know, you speak about, if I understood it correctly, a 350 billion rand facility. But they haven't used it. Why are we giving them more money than what the facility they use? What's behind this? We might have 60 billion, we're giving them another 83, but that was a 350 billion facility that they haven't used. They haven't used 150. My warning bells are ringing. I don't understand why we're doing this. Facility is there, they've got the availability that we're getting in and saying, no, no, we need a punch. It's a short time. I have used this.
Thank you for the presentation, and I've been covered by the contributions of my colleagues, but what I find a little bit strange is that when specific percentages and the real percentages that National Treasury foresees in the loan being converted, then those percentages are not in the presentation. So we can never hold a gun to your head to say, but you told us that the debt to earnings will decrease from 14.2 as a loan to 13.3 in the conversion. So we need all those percentages that you have quoted at the end of your presentation before we switch to the bill and Edward Van Schoor. All those must be spelled out to us in writing, please, because then only could we sit and really look at it, because this is quite a heavy thing, and I think we must be very sure that what we're doing is the right thing and we follow the right procedures and processes here. It doesn't mean that we just have to do what has been done in the past.
Thank you, Chair. I must just apologize for being a bit late. I was at the Health Committee. But sir, let me say thank you very much for that presentation. Indeed, it was a lot of informative information. And I want to start off by saying, yes, I think we have serious challenges. There's no doubt about it. And not supporting this is not going to be in the interest of the country and our people. It's not only our citizens that rely on this electricity, because my understanding is we also supply neighboring countries like Botswana, things depend on us. But from what I understand, they have a much bigger crisis than we have in terms of electricity, because we use more than 10 places automatically. So we do have a serious challenge. My one concern is we 60 billion for starters. Shouldn't we be at least getting about 80 billion worth of share? Because what we're saying is that you will pay this after you have paid off debt. We're not saying that you won't pay at all, interestingly. So should we not have actually considered that at least we should get some much more value than the 60 billion, because can you imagine what we would have done with 60 billion from this in the last 8 years, from 2008, which is when we've been releasing the monies to ESCOM. The question that arises is how much longer, how much more money? does ESCOM really need to bring their house in order once and for all? You know, and I think I want to agree that you're going to give 60 billion and then another 20 billion and 15, but we need to know where are we heading, how many years from now will we have been able to resolve our problems, how much more money is it going to cost? And saying that, I'm in no way saying we must not provide this. We must, we don't have an option, to be honest with you. We need it. I've seen business suffer. I've seen the private individuals suffer as a result of electricity. You're driving in four-decker road, the entire place is awful. Businesses have to close. It's having a major impact. But one of the questions was, what is the impact on local businesses and industry when we also choose to supply the neighboring countries and others with electricity at our own expense? Because, like you said, we have a challenge in terms of being able to actually supply. The other issue is this, in terms of the shares, is it the next year, this year, profitable, or we are rather looking at it that as a state entity, it is our responsibility to bail them out in the interest of the country, rather than looking at whether it is the share of value for money and things at this stage? Because at the way ESCOM is performing, there's no doubt about it. I don't know, even I would be the first to want to buy a share at this point in time. But maybe at a later stage, yes, you know, it might be different. The 60 billion is basically going to go into TELSIA. The 23 billion, in my understanding, is what we have allocated and we've given to ESCOM. That's my understanding of that reason. So it's already, it's basically going to, you know, I don't know whether it's playing with words. I think I want to agree. ESCOM needs this money. I don't know whether these changing loan agreements and all these things is the route to go, but rather be direct. We need to assist ESCOM to be able to be self-sufficient. This is what their challenge is, trying to get their house in order, whether it's 200 billion or 500 billion, that's where we need to go and start working towards that. Because otherwise we're going to continue to come back here, get all this negative publicity, it's going to continue year in and year out, and we're not getting it. I had the opportunity of speaking to somebody who was quite acquainted with this on plane the other day, and he said he's expecting it to be sorted out in about 3.5 years. My understanding is maybe 5 to 10 years, that's basically what, because the demand is also increasing, you know. So that's one. The one further question I got is with regards to the monies that are now supposed to be raised. It says it must come from non-strategic assets. It's due, in my view, or in a table right now. Are we ready? Have we sold the assets? Are we ready now to hand over the money to ESCOM? Because I think we are supposed to do that this month. So let me stop there for now. Thank you.
Yes, my look is two big concise issues. On the last slide I'm looking at there on page 8 and the third bullet from the report. When exactly does this form physically then issue these shares to the state, to the state? What kind of money that happens? And and then I just want to ask of National Treasury, at what point in time does National Treasury begin to apply common business principles? When you would become in to the Parliament, that this one should be prioritized, and this should as an appointed JSC, and then as my colleague said, everybody in the piece of the cake is such a great business to JSC. At the end of the day, you know, for how long does the state continue to put good money behind an investment that is turning out to be a ridiculous liability? So at some point in time, National Treasury must be able to pull up the handbrake and say, listen, we're going to apply common business principles here. And you know, draw the line somewhere. That's what I just want to make a point. You know, I mean, I've heard the rest of the other issues that could have been proposed of the that is here in front of us. So yes, I've heard some good arguments. But at the end of the day, I just want to make a comment on chairperson, that at some point in time, common business principles must begin to prevail. Thank you, sir.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. I'm coming to this meeting for the first time because I noted, especially the critical matter which are being discussed today. I would just like to start off with the very first slide, where it says, you know, the background, and then you look at those 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 bullets. I think that is where the business principles, or basically most of the financial ways of doing things, need to kick in. And if that is done properly, like let's say for instance, a sustainable electricity generating sector, and we go on ESCOM's current build program, has experienced problems, inadequate maintenance, it means that we need staff that are well equipped, we need people that know, you know, financial principles, we need to ensure that we actually get value for money. For every cent that we put in, we actually get much more than the cent, even if we will be putting in all these millions that we need to put in, because we have to believe that ESCOM has got to be funded and has got to be sustained in a way that they play their role. But it does not mean that we need to do that and not look at business principles. We need to look at them, you know, quite greatly, and all the issues around the electricity demand. But the main thing here is that we need to acknowledge that there are challenges, and the challenges border around not only just trying to relieve them by putting in the money, but trying to relieve them by ensuring that we have the best capable people who will look after those monies, who will actually look after those power stations. I think we have the two power stations where we even say that there's been degeneration in some of the power stations, the DUPI and whatever, as well as the deterioration in ESCOM's financial position, meaning that do we have the correct people that are able to actually handle those monies properly? It's quite important, Chairperson, as I'm saying, I'm coming to this committee for the first time today, to get an understanding of this very background, because that is where the matter lies. It's the background which you have written here, which will inform us how many years we keep on putting money into ESCOM, because the more we address the matters which have been raised in this background head on. And then, of course, we also look into the issue which was raised by Mem Sole Sitole at the back there, where she said we need reporting every so often about matters. That will show us that we are putting our money in and we are getting good results, we are getting value for money, we are getting the best of results. But if we just put in our money and we are not too sure on what's coming out in order for us to get what we need, then it means that in about 10, 15 years' time, we'll again be reviewing the terms and doing whatever, and then in giving them money. So it's quite important that that background is actually taken into consideration, because I think that is where the crux of the matter is. On assets, I think one of my colleagues mentioned the issue of the assets. I think the definition and asset register will inform us exactly what needs to be on the assets and how much those assets are. It's critical that we address the issue in that manner, but definitely we will be supporting, assisting ESCOM, but there's a lot that we need to look at. Thanks, Chair.
I think I should allow the assessment to challenge the corporate plan. And that corporate plan provides a lot of detail, and the numbers that I'm giving on the ratios comes from the corporate plan. Right? So that corporate plan is what the running ministry makes available publicly. So I guess one should be seen a much closer collaboration between operations and finance. The demand supply, when I make reference to electricity demand having reduced the draws, then it is referring to higher tariffs. If the tariffs have gone up, then the recent tariff increases, the ratio is nice shows a very clear demand supply prices go up due to demand less of that product. So what has happened is that you have a lot more residential owners implementing solar, implementing other alternative measures, and in fact as long and even using electricity there. So there's been a very clear sign to save, to consume less electricity. So that's desire to consume less, it's been an initiative of our ESCOM to save on the use of electricity by switching them off with those users, putting off the users. That all needs to go into demand, putting off the users that are keeping the heat on when you don't use it. All those demand management initiatives are all aimed at reducing demand. And so by reducing your effect, they also have an impact on the energy price, consuming less. the issue on the file canvas, there are certain names. Well, we have in the presentation, we can say in canvas. But certainly, if the situation is such that ESCOM requires that funding maybe a month or so before December, then we should be in a position to provide that transfer. But what we show the transfer on those funds is by June, by December 2015, and then in the main CBA that is the way that we spend the cost. Application to increase tariffs, that's a project that is managed by the regulator, that's for the National Energy Regulator, so they would look at the financial position of ESCOM and balance that with the satisfying various stakeholders who have an interest in the electricity crisis, and the determination is made by the regulator, and then they consult the process. And so on the basis of the decision that are taken by the regulator, that could be depended upon, tariffs are either side there to be increased or to remain at levels that they are currently. But that is not a determination that the decision may be more of our Christians and the facility Christians perceive earlier. Remember, this is part of it. When I mentioned earlier, the support package to ESCOM comprises a number of interventions. So the borrowers from this is one of the interventions, the equity. So the PMSOP is just to allow ESCOM to raise funding in the capital markets, and so that even if part of what is needed for support that needs to, if it decides to borrow the energy, some of the issues that ESCOM has done, the borrowing that ESCOM has done, has been without a guarantee, and some have been with the guarantee. So the decision that ESCOM has decision
service.
So I spoke about that with you, but in terms of what that was for, the constitution, in terms of the date and the time, have you got anything about the constitution and the time of the trial?
I think that
the constitution
was announced in this presentation of the name of the money.
By having a better economic situation of the event plan. state level, take a step back and get feedback about the revenues, as well, therefore, as be able to, as government, put high levels of growth, to be able to borrow from the lower debt. And therefore, there's a broader implication beyond just the intervention to deal with ESCOM. So, this is by the end of ESCOM. The point again about indirect crowd loans and $20 billion is a direct equity injection to ESCOM. The $50 billion is, as I explained earlier, issued 4 or 5 years back, was a loan, not converted, so now it's converted to equity. Where will ESCOM be sorted out from that equity process? I can't say when the situation will turn around completely, for that to be discussed that what happened involved the line of industry and more on the operations side, because the problem is not financial, there's such problem with it. We are improving the financial position, but the financial position is not better. It's financing, it's operation, and therefore ensuring that we have more trips on the industry side. Program and this energy generation construction process that are underway. The last key to add is probably to make that first transfer from Cambodian to that is what the entire sequence is too. So we are on track to meet the first tranche, which is this month, of 10 billion Cambodian bank and the remaining 13 billion. When will the CP issue the
statute? Any person of boys that they want to issue the shares that issues the loan will have. Obviously, when there's three decisions in terms of the Companies Act for issuing shares, maybe increase with all our share capital, we could acquire before that could be done. So the quicker that is done, the interest of the conference will increase or improve the balance sheet. But that's worth it for you to do by the end of the conference.
On the common business principles, which is around the privatization, that is of ESCOM, how long those are, if you have anything I am able to just talk to. But the kind of interventions that we are doing here is going out that there is some loaning which that can be done whether or not this comes by that. That is the thing that can be fixed, needs to be fixed with what we are currently doing and the interventions that we are making to the president with the relevant ministers working together, paradigm finance those nations, the current environment. At stage of this one to fix everything. Just a better collaboration, as I mentioned earlier, between the operation and the treasury side of the business, that's the relationship with various ministries working on data, national treasury, Republic Enterprise, Department of Energy, and it also to digitalize and availability. Allowed for a lot of collaboration and therefore efficiency in decision making in order to address the challenges. That is part of what we are discussing here. So some of those things are common solutions that we are trying to implement. I agree with the background numbers and those are the challenges, but that is what is contributed to where we are. The delays that we have. The inadequate maintenance and those are that highlights why we are where we are. That is where we have been adequate and therefore we want to be addressed going forward. So yes, the background really highlights what these challenges are and why we are doing what we are doing today. These components of the support package that we are using. So yes, certainly those are challenges. We are facing these challenges. But I think there are some of us who are very positive that these challenges can be addressed, will be addressed. So I'm highlighting, and this is why this is the first slide of this page, is the background. That these are most important. This is why I do that with what we need to deal with, what it is. Because there's a spin-off on the name of the economy. And even an important certain business is happening, I'm sure it's going to reach the minister, who's supporting also, obviously, the sense of ministry, finance,
don't know how much it is. I think we continue to have this kind of problem. Maybe we can
on Saturdays.
Yeah, but well, that's why you can't come and ask you for money and don't tell you where it's going to end and where
it's going to end.
And
my point
is
for asking
you
for
a question
because I'm not happy with the response if anyone asked it. I've seen answers for the issue with it's a long and difficult. Now, we've got this money fund of us and about 30 states, and I thought I can see this very each state that the money is going to be appropriated to increase the state's equity investment, so it's not a lot. Okay, so that's made clear. Second point on that is that they say that the amount, yeah, in Code 1, subject to paying into the National Revenue Fund. Of the revenue from sale of assets, that's when that 20 billion man will be paid. So yeah, I'm interested to hear that 10 billion is going to be paid now. So I don't know how much of the state of the assets are being sold, but we do know that the money is going to be paid. We've got paid. So that's also interesting. The other issue that I would like to also verify to the presenter is that he also says, I don't know how you can add an additional money to 60 million. My colleague here is sitting on the side. You see, the loan was issued 7 years ago, 60 million and loan. Surely, interest, whether it was paid or not, much of a dish, he understood. That's the reset accounting principle. So that's the level. So the value of the share has to be more than 60 million. Because in terms of the Companies Act, the shares have to be issued at market value. Clearly, that's not market value. The 60 million that was spent 10 years ago, and now this year, the issuing shares to the value of 60 million.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to answer, it's fine. I'll get that answer myself. So, that's the problem. The other issue is the payment of dividends. Now, we do understand. You don't have to pay dividends. You can't pay dividends to a cash flow that's enough. But at least the dividends must be included. So that's the question that we want to know. We need to know what is the expense to cash flow. And we have to know the interest if it's a loan and dividends is equity. That has to be recorded in the book. You can't just cook the books and record, do not book any just to make a company viable so that they can get loans in the future. The other issue I want to talk about is, I'm going to stop here, is the shares, the selling of shares to an associated company. That's what's happening here. Shares are being offered to the public, they're offered to an associated only to them. So you haven't been anybody else's option. So whether that is legal or not, it's questionable. I'll have to do some readings, find out if that's the case, but there are some serious issues. And then I want to reiterate, I don't disagree with the funding of it. I think the way it was funded, I think that's, we need a bigger explanation as far as it's going to be done.
Well, if I could,
I'm not
sure enough to question that you would have some discussions that you will send the client rights. So you have more time to deal with the issues, but I don't want to ask much.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you, Chair. Whilst I appreciate that ESCOM is going to come and respond to some of the questions, but I think what I want, the point I want to make is Treasury is asking us to approve this. And Treasury should give us a guideline, a solid interact with ESCOM. We need to know where we're going. If we're not going to know now where we're going, every year you can come back and say, get 60 billion, 20 billion, 30 billion. We need to know where we're going. We need to know where the end result is, what it's going to cost us in totality, so that we can work towards that figure. I think that is very, very important. And I think my colleague just alluded to what I was talking about, the 60 billion. 60 billion 8 years ago is not worth 60 billion today. At the expense of the taxpayer. I am saying, why could we not have got, you know, more shares, or 80 billion worth of shares, or whatever it is in value. But you gain 60 billion, 7 years ago you're getting 60 billion. In essence, what you get, you're getting 40 billion worth of shares. That's basically what we're doing. And I don't think that is fair. So that is my other thing. I don't think you can guide us and tell us what assets were sold, because I know who are going to be non-strategic assets. What non-strategic assets have been sold thus far to meet this deadline, which is, I think, at the end of June. I think it's very important that, you know, for us, because we bear the brunt of this all the time from the public and everybody else. We need to know where we go. We need to know what the position is, so that we can go. Listen, we acknowledge it as a challenge. We are saying, yes, ESCOM cannot survive without this money. We are acknowledging that. We're saying let's do it. But we are saying let's work for it. Let's identify the challenge. Because I'm not going to be in agreement when you say we don't know. You know what the demand is. You know what the supply is. You know what our infrastructure situation is. You know what we're going to need. And we need to work towards, so maybe a complete, whatever it is, a need analysis or whatever it is, needs to be done to know exactly what it's going to cost us. That's where we need to go. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Thank you, Chief Minister. Thank you, the reporting issue is a big problem to me because we're sitting with four different entities, if I could call it entities. International Treasury, the Deputy President, Energy, and Public Enterprises. And they are playing football with us. When we ask questions to the Deputy President, it's referred to Energy. When we ask a question to Energy, it's referred to Public Enterprises. So we are not getting the report. How can we approve things when we have no income to the report? Then, the opportunity cost. Are we really going for the best opportunity here in an investment or a salvage package? And would it not be better to go for a public investment or keep the shares on the stock exchange? And then, will the sale of the assets be in line with the prices that will be paid over? In other words, by the end of June, has some sale be lined up to the extent to cover that part of the process going to be paid over? In other words, or is national treasury or national government going to give them a bridging loan in the meantime, if you understand what I'm going to say? And at what point? Information from us. But what is more is that there's an occasion
we need to follow the money. So we will not just wait for the quarterly visit. We will invite people and we just meet the stakeholders when we ask to come discount.
due on Friday, I think we should also have a very concerted effort to continue to engage and monitor the experiment. Yes, I guess, and so on. That's something I would find myself as committee to that.
I guess you're going to have to give him the money. The one who was giving us the presentation, that's him.
Okay.
Thank you. I sent him those, that question.
Yeah.
And I will tell him that by Friday he has to respond.
You can come and tell us, you don't know. If you want to find out,
oh, yes.
Tell us.
Oh, yes. He has to.
I gave
it to the committee class to continue, and I explained that he has responded to you and me every single morning.
She never gets angry with
it. Oh, it's a good time.
Mm. That's good.
Yes,
you meet people like that.
I live longer than she smiles.
Oh, yes, you do.
Yeah. Right, let's do some work. Thank you.